Good evening. Very thankful for the opportunity that I have to share a portion of God's Word with you this evening. It's my prayer that I'll have something to say this evening that will be beneficial to you and something you can take forward in your daily walk with Christ. This evening I've entitled my lesson, Receiving Godly Instruction. And we're going to begin this, if I can find my clicker, there we go. We're going to begin this evening in James 1 verses 21 through 25. It says, Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So this passage here, it says that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I think that this is relevant to each of us here this evening. It's real easy to come here and listen to a sermon or hear a message, but do we apply that into our daily lives? Sometimes we see that the word has been heard, but there's no outward change in our lives. I know that I've been guilty of that at some times. You know, I hear a great lesson or read a passage of Scripture, but after I leave from that setting, I fail to actually apply it. As Christians, maybe I think that there's a comfort level there that makes us feel almost untouchable. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what stage of life we're in, and no matter the state of our soul this evening, we all need the guidance that comes from the Word of God. And you know, we might be in the mindset of it's okay to just go with the status quo. We'll come to church a few times a week and hear a good message and we'll be good. Excuse me. We hear God's Word taught and it might make us feel good in the moment, but does that message convict our hearts to act? Do the things we hear from the Bible cause action? I'm going to read this passage again, highlighted. It says, For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And this paints a pretty clear picture, doesn't it? He said, this is like a man that's looking in a mirror who sees his flaws, but leaves and doesn't do anything about it. The writer says the same thing is like a person who is a hearer only and not a doer of the word. And the truth is we can hear a sermon or read the Bible every day of the week, and that's still not enough to save us. We know as Christians that to obtain salvation, it requires action. So why would there not be action required in our daily Christian lives? Just like the mirror, the Word of God will point out the things that we need to correct in our own lives. It'll tell us very plainly who we are and what we need to do to correct those things. As we look into the Word, our sins are the spots that the Word reveals. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, man, that was a good lesson. I really need to be a better person, something like that. But that's not real conviction. It's only when that good lesson we hear is applied, like I said earlier. So how do we do that? How do we take the things that we hear and read and properly apply and properly discern? These are all important questions we can ask, and we're going to look at some of these things tonight. You know, as we look out into the world and see the problems, I think it always stems from a lack of knowledge or lack of conviction. People don't want to stand by their convictions or stand by instruction. So what do we do first when it comes to receiving this godly instruction? First of all, we need to have a fear of God. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What does it mean to fear God? In this passage, it means to give reverence. You know, this morning we talked about loving God, how loving God is the first and greatest commandment, and loving Him with all our heart. We need to love and have reverence for God and His holy word. And that our worship to God should not be something that's taken lightly. And I believe that as Christians, that can be a challenge for us sometimes. We often need to remind ourselves of what a mighty God we serve. A God that created everything that we see around us. A God who holds our life and our soul in His hands. He has the power to send all of His creation to hell for the iniquity He sees, yet He's compassionate enough that He sent Christ, His own Son, to die for those iniquities. That's the God we serve. He's a powerful God. And there's a certain amount of respect that we should have when we come into this assembly and when we hear a message taught. We shouldn't be here to worry about anything else except for worship. And a proper fear of God, this passage said, is the beginning of knowledge. That fear will cause us to receive God's word with humility and will cause us to study so we can properly discern, like I talked about earlier, the word and teach it to others. Next, I think it's important to understand that godly instruction is always given out of love and compassion. It comes from a loving place. You know, the men who get behind this pulpit and preach for the benefit of the hearer. Any evangelist, elder, deacon, or any other male member that gets up here is looking, first of all, to edify the listeners. Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And I understand this passage is talking about elders specifically, but I think this can be used as a broader application. Every single one of our elders get up here and give lessons. And one of the reasons they do that is because they care about people's souls, not only in this congregation, but everybody in the community and in the world, anybody they come in contact with. And the same thing goes for our evangelists and other teachers that get up here. They take on this job because they care about people's souls. They love people. And ultimately, our elders, they're going to give an account on Judgment Day. And you know, sometimes that love might come across as harsh or insensitive, but I don't know, it was explained to me from a person much wiser than I. He said that maybe my generation is just too sensitive. And that definitely is the truth, because you see in our society today, people have a hard time with instruction and criticism. They don't want to be told what to do. So as listeners, it's important to understand that when we do receive instruction, when we receive messages, that the people up here are coming, their message is coming from a loving place. And you know, the truth is that Christ was the exact same way. He shows over and over in the Bible that you can love people with truth. Just like the woman taken in adultery. He didn't condemn her. But you know what he did? He told her to go and sin no more. He acknowledged that, yes, she had sin, but he did it with love and compassion. It came from a loving place. But our society today is so stuck on not wanting to judge people or be judged. But you know, the truth hurts sometimes. Sometimes the truth is uncomfortable to talk about or hear. But the fact is, people's souls depend on it. So again, as listeners, we need to understand that. Their teaching comes from a love for you and I. And as a person who's behind this pulpit from time to time, I share that same sentiment as all who get up here and give a lesson. But as listeners, we can never think of ourselves as too wise, too good, or too great to learn something. We all have things that we need to improve on. Next, I'd like to look at the parable of the sower. It's a fairly lengthy reading, but we're going to start here in Matthew 13, verses 3. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears, let him hear." Now we're going to skip down in verse 18, where he kind of describes or explains this parable more adequately. Verse 18, I gave you all this diagram, but I'm just going to read the passage. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is which received the seed by the wayside. And he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for tribulation or persecution. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and take care of this and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And I know this parable is about evangelism, but it's also about the conditions of the human heart. It gives us four different types of people and what's going to happen, what happens when we sow the word. It talks about the seed that's fallen by the wayside. These people hear the word, but they don't understand it. And life and the world continues to happen, and they forget what they were taught. I think that probably atheists and agnostic people tend to fall in this group. I think also this would apply to people who practice Christianity, but they haven't been given the full truth. They don't understand what it means to obtain salvation. It talks about the seed that fell among the stony places. It said that these people received the word with joy initially. They liked what they heard. They might have had a zeal in the moment to learn more, but when the trials and persecutions that they see around them, they take a step back. They see the trials and the things that Christians have to go through sometimes, and they're offended. They take a step back, or they might be offended by something that they hear in the word. I think these people are likely non-Christians or people who haven't obeyed, or they just choose not to obey. And it talks about those that fell, the seed that fell among the thorns. These are the people that hear the word, but they're blinded by the lust and deceitfulness of the world, and they become unfruitful. And the fact that it said that they became unfruitful tells me that they were once fruitful Christians at the time, more than likely. So these people were Christians, and they were fruitful, and they became blinded by the riches and distractions of this world. And the last, of course, is the good ground, where these are the fruitful Christians actively bearing fruit in the kingdom of God. And I believe tonight every single one of us falls into one of those categories as listeners. You've got your non-believers, your Christians, your unfruitful Christians, and your faithful Christians. And you know, the reason I chose this passage is because, like I said, these four categories are all representations of what the human heart is, the conditions of people's heart. So when it comes to receiving God's word, our heart needs to be on the good ground, of course. And tonight, we all have control of that. So what can we learn? First of all, as Christians, we need to cultivate a good environment in our heart to properly receive God's word. We'll stay in Matthew 13, and this is in between him first giving that parable and then explaining it. Matthew 13, verses 10 through 15 says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall it be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and ye shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. After Jesus first initially gives this parable, his disciples ask, why are you doing this? Why are you preaching to us in parables? And what he's saying is that these teachings of his, these parables are simple to those who are willing to receive the word, those who are willing to be taught. But at the same time, they're more obscure to those who are willingly ignorant. And he specifically is talking about the Jews at this time. They didn't want to understand Christ's teaching, so it did seem difficult to them. They were so stuck in their ways that the things that Christ was teaching them was threatening to them. And they chose to have a closed off heart. So the point is, if we don't have the will to learn, then we won't. You know, every day people are told of salvation. They're preached to about the believer's privileges, about the happiness of heaven, the happiness and the joy that comes with being a Christian, and the hope that comes with being a Christian. Yet there's no change of heart. Also, many people are glad to hear a good sermon, but aren't profited by it. And you know, regrettably, there have been times where I've heard great lessons and been really moved at the time, but I failed to apply those things that I heard into my life. It's almost as if I was happy to hear a good message, but it didn't go any further than that. So as Christians, we can never become too comfortable in the state that we're in. And the message is that we should not only examine our lives, but there needs to be real conviction behind it. That conviction will cause us to take action. I don't have this on the screen, but Acts 2, verses 36 through 37, this on the day of Pentecost, Peter's explaining to the Jews that, well, I'll just read it. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The Jews, once they realized what they had done, that they had in fact put the Son of God to death, they knew that action was required. They said, what shall we do? You can almost hear the desperate plea in their voice because they knew of what a terrible thing they had done. Their hearts were convicted because they knew what they had done. And I think they had a change of heart. It said that there were many souls added to the kingdom that day, and they continued to be fruitful. And I think that's a great, great example of conviction. You know, these were the same people that before were in the mob yelling to crucify Christ. Now they desperately needed to know how to change their life, how to correct that thing that they had done. And the same goes for us. We need to allow the word to convict our hearts and cause it to change the errors that we see, like looking in the mirror. Here in Matthew 13, in verse 14, it says, for the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed. You know, this is talking about spiritual indifference. Their heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes are closed. What can cause indifference in our lives, in our Christian lives? What causes us to lose interest in studying our Bibles or coming to church? Well, I think it's what we talked about earlier. He talked about the seed that fell among the thorns. And he described those people as being unfruitful because they had become so engrossed in the cares of this world that they had become blinded and become unfruitful. And that's what I meant when I said we need to cultivate a good environment for our heart. We all have control of this. We all have control of what goes into our heart, what we put in our heart. We need to pluck out anything that's going to stand in our way of our service to God. Like I said, these people became unfruitful. More than likely, at one point in time, they were faithful Christians, and they became distracted by the world, and the same thing can happen to us today. If we are indifferent about what's being taught, then that means that we're obviously distracted by other things that probably don't matter. Especially in our world today, there are so many things, especially in this country, there's so many things that we can become distracted by. There's so much content on a daily basis that we can take in and put into our brains. And oddly enough, we seem to struggle paying attention when the words of our Creator and our Savior are taught. And we struggle sometimes sitting down ourselves and studying the Bible. But it seems to be no problem to spend hours on the day on Facebook or Netflix. And I know obviously these things aren't bad in and of themselves to use sometimes, but the point is, above all things, Christ wants us to be bearing fruit. And all these worldly distractions preventing, if these worldly distractions are preventing us from being fruitful Christians, we need to reevaluate our lives. Also, growing Christians need to have a growing knowledge and interest in the Bible, and not need to. If you're a growing Christian, we will have a growing knowledge and interest. Like I said, we need to study the Bible ourselves. We can't rely solely on what the preacher says. We can't rely solely on what he says to be our only source of knowledge. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12 through 13 says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, and received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know, men's words are perishing. The things that I'm going to say this evening are perishing. And sometimes men are fallible in what they say. Sometimes men are false, deliberately false in what they say. But the word of God is going to stand for eternity. We personally, as Christians, need to sit down and study so we can have the ability to discern the word of God, like I talked about earlier. We need to be able to distinguish if things are wrong or right when the word of God is being taught to us. We talked about having strong roots. We need to have strong roots in the Word of God, or otherwise we'll be taken down by any doctrine that's thrown at us. We'll be taken down by any doctrine that seems to fit our lifestyle or the things that we like to hear. And you know, we don't have to look very far to see that's exactly what we see around us everywhere. People take hold of the doctrine that they like, or they take hold of the doctrine that they've relied on, that people have told them. They just rely on other people. We also see people leave the church for this very reason. They don't have a knowledge, so they try other places out, and they're taken down by this doctrine that makes them feel good. That's why it's so important for us as Christians that we don't rely on what the preacher said, that we don't rely only on what the preacher says, but that we study these things for ourselves, that we teach it to our children so they can grow up strong in the church and in God's word. Parents, this is one way that we can bear fruit. We can teach the word of God to our children. Hebrews 4, verses 12 said, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We need to be confident in the word's ability. And you know, we started this teacher training for this congregation's male members a while back, and we get together on a monthly basis to just hone our abilities to preach. And on one of the first meetings, I think it was Hugh, he made the comment, and he said that as teachers, we need to be confident in the word's ability to do what it's designed to do. So how does that personally relate to us? We need to be confident in the word that if taught, it will lead our direction. It will lead direction and give us direction in life. It will give us the answers to problems that we have or questions that we have. We need to be confident in the word. It says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's like that mirror. You know, one time I heard a person say that this guy's, that a guy that preached, he said that his lessons were just saturated in Scripture. And that's really always puzzled me, because I just thought it to be strange, because why wouldn't we want the Scripture to be read? Without the words of the Bible, we're absolutely nothing. So we shouldn't be too proud to think that we can't possibly learn anything more. Just because it's a Scripture we've heard time and time again, we can always learn something from the Word of God. You know, even the most versed men in the Bible will admit to you that they don't know it all. I know I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm a far, far ways away from that. You think about people like different evangelists. You think about Pat Mannin. People say he's the walking Bible, but even he'll admit to you that he doesn't know it all. You know, I'll probably never retain that type of knowledge, but I can never stop trying to learn and gain as much as I can, as should we all. We need to understand the power and the weight that the Word of God carries. Romans 1, verse 16 through 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So ultimately, it comes down to our faith. Do we believe that God will do what he said he will do in the Scriptures? You know, if we look at the Bible, it proves its validity time and time again. There's fulfilled prophecies. There's proof in science and in history that the things of the Bible and in the Old Testament actually happened. And that same book, you know, just happens to be our roadmap to salvation. It says the just will live by faith. But, you know, we can't be justified without first knowing what's contained in our Bibles and then obeying. Finally, receiving the Word requires humility and prudence. 1 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 16 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and to them that hear thee." You know, Christianity is full of opportunities. Opportunities to grow. Opportunities to teach. Opportunities to be an example to the people that we come in contact with. But none of these things are possible without us first having the desire to learn and to continue to gain knowledge. And that's what it comes down to. We have to give ourselves fully to God and give ourselves fully to understanding His Scriptures and obeying those Scriptures. Our heart has to be open. And that's the thing. It's one thing to come and hear a good lesson like we talked about. But if it stops there, then that's all we've done is listen to a person talk. The instruction and the teaching is there. The question is, what will we do once it's put on our hearts? That's all I have prepared this evening. Very thankful for your kind attention. We haven't necessarily spoke on the first principles this evening, but if there's one that has been taught and wishes to obey their Lord in baptism, or if there's one that needs the prayers of the church, we would ask that you would come as we stand and sing.